And we're going to be, and we've got to get this. It is my prayer, it is our prayer this morning that when we walk out of that door, we will be reminded, we will be strengthened, we will be encouraged that we are able to stand in the current world we live in with confidence, with conviction, with security on the cornerstone of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our security. He is our refuge. He is our fortress. He is our salvation. And it is only when we connect with the cornerstone of our faith that we will know the truth that our anchor, the anchor of our faith, holds firm amongst the waves of this life, because the rock that it is connected with is our Lord Jesus Christ and none other. And so when we think about that today, I want to talk about how there was a man who many years ago, 500 years almost, in a few weeks' time, in August, we will be celebrating the 500th year that this happened. And I want to kind of involve the children at this point. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask the children to just look and tell me what this is, okay? So, would somebody tell me, just shout out what it is. Come on, yeah. £20, okay, £20 note, okay? Now, £20, a lot of money, isn't it? Yeah. How many of us would like to walk along the road one day and see £20 and pick it up? Yeah. Yeah. And your parents will tell you what you're supposed to do when you find £20, about the moral aspect of finding out who it belongs to. But it's always fun to find something on the ground and pick it up. Now, some people will take £20 and they will try and use £20 for different things. So sometimes people will come and they will say, I want to be your friend, but I will pay you £20 if you will be my friend. Yeah? Okay. I will pay you £20 if you will be my friend. If you pay somebody £20 and I give you £20 and you say, yeah, you'll be my friend, is that a true friend or not a true friend? True friend, not at all. Okay, but now that's exactly what this guy called the head of the church back in those days, 500 years ago, was saying. If you give me £20, or if you give me some money, then I will be able to help get people out of trouble that have already died and are going to be in a place called purgatory. In other words, give me your money, and if you give me your money, you'll be able to help pay for relatives or brothers and sisters that are in trouble. Now, what was his name? I don't think we've told you about this in Sunday school, so you don't know his name. But I want you to just have a look at the picture that's up there. I'll give you a chance just to see a picture of him. He was a man, and I want someone to tell me what you can see in that picture. What's going on in that picture? Anybody?
He's hammering.
He's hammering, yeah. And what do you think he's hammering? Anybody? What is he doing?
Paper,
and what is he hammering it onto?
A door.
Yeah, he's hammering it onto a door. That's exactly right. Okay, now that man was saying, you can't use money to buy friends. It's kind of what he was saying. He was saying you can't use money to buy your way out of hell. You can't use money to buy your way out of a big word called purgatory. Okay, so now I want you, if it's okay, please, we're going to do something really special today. We're going to tell you what his name is. Now, can somebody read what that name is?
Yeah? Luther.
That's right. Okay. His name is Luther. Does anyone know what his first name was? It's not here. Anybody know what his first name was? His first name was Martin. Martin Luther. And he was a very brave man. Because what he did was he hammered on the door of his church, he hammered the words, "You can't buy your way out of heaven. Out of hell. You can't buy friendship with Jesus. That's not how you become friends with Jesus. You can't buy your way into being a friend with Jesus." But everybody was cross with him for doing that. Everybody was cross with him. He was very brave because they all, lots and lots of people, wanted to kill him. Because he said, "You can't buy your way. You can't buy Jesus as a friend with money." That's what he was saying. Okay? So now, today, I'm going to ask if each of you will take, those of you who are building, that's okay, you can carry on. But those of you who are able to, we're going to ask you to just do this. We're going to color this. Now, because this is 500 years of remembering the Reformation, we're going to put your pictures up on the wall for a while to celebrate 500 years of a man who understood that you can't buy Jesus, can't buy him as a friend. You can't give him money to be your friend. We're going to give it to you. Please, if you can start coloring that right now, we're going to be talking about what that means. So, for the rest of us, if we all go back while the children are doing that, if we all go back to what we were reading just a minute ago, well, at the beginning of the service, from 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 4, we read these words. "And coming to him as to a living stone." Peter, what we need to get today while the children are coloring about Martin Luther and learning a little bit more about what he stood for, the cornerstone of the doctrine of justification by faith, while they do that, I want to just, I'm finding £20 notes everywhere. I probably should have put them in the offering, shouldn't I? Anyway, I needed them for the illustration. Peter understood something about the nature of the rock of faith. The name Peter was given to him, we remember, when he was a disciple, when Jesus said to the disciples, "Who do people say I am?" And he said, "You are the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah." And Jesus turned to him and said, "Peter, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah." On confession of your faith, is what he kind of meant, but because God the Father has revealed this to you, you shall be, your name shall now be Peter, which means rock. And upon this rock, I will build my church. And what he's saying is, because you are the one the Father gave insight to, because you're the one who understood these things, you will be the one who will lead the disciples, who will be the one upon which this new church will grow. And your name is Petra, rock. And then we come to Peter writing about what that means. He understood something about having your faith on the rock of our salvation. Because it was Peter in chapter 2 of 1 Peter who said this, "Coming to him as to a living stone." coming to him as a living rock, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. We see, Anders, if we could go back just a second, we see that as you begin to try and understand what this thing called the cornerstone is, the cornerstone of your faith, having your anchor holding on the rock of your salvation, being standing on the cornerstone of Christ, you've got to understand the first thing you've got to do is you've got to come to him. Coming to him as to living stones. Now, we don't get much of that anymore these days. But back in the day, and some of us, I know Sylvie and a few others who've shared their testimony, remember this well. Coming to Christ, you've got to come to him as you develop this understanding of having a rock-like faith that begins by coming to him. Now, we're not going to see much more of this, but those of us who were privileged to ever see this, never forget what this looked like. We're going to look at it now, just for a minute. Precious Sylvia, your precious testimony. You were one who with Dr. Billy Graham walked down. Was it at Wembley Stadium? Was it Earl's Court? Wembley? Wembley Stadium. You were one that came to Jesus. We go back to that verse. We, in understanding what it is to have a rock-like faith, we need to come to him. We need to come to him and understand that it is not by what we do. We can't pay money to be a Christian. We can't do good things to be a Christian. What Martin Luther said 500 years ago was there is nothing we can do but come in repentance with faith and understand that Jesus, when he died on the cross, when that precious blood was shed on the cross, that was the heart of a cornerstone faith. And it is when we come as living stones to the rock that is higher than us, to the rock of our salvation, when we come to him, it is there that we will find the cornerstone of our faith. And it's got to be that way. To be living stones, we have to come to him. We have to kneel at his cross. We've got to repent and ask for his forgiveness. And in that sense, we will become living stones, precious before God. But not only do we need to come to him, you also, as living stones, we continue to the next verse. you'll find that as we are precious, that we, as living stones, are then built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So now, I just want us to think about what that means. And I'm going to ask, please, if a couple of you guys would come up. We're just going to build a little house here very quickly. A couple of guys that are really good at this sort of thing. Okay? Just come, and on top of these four, just build a little bit of a house. Just on top of those. Okay, put it that way so the blocks, don't put it in like that, on that side, okay? Thank you, and then you can build on top of that. While they're building that house, I want us to think about this. It is not, as I said in the beginning, the walls of this church that make this church East Hill Baptist Church. It is those of us who become regular members of the congregation, who become part of the family of our Lord Jesus Christ, that become the church, become the stones in which the church is built. So what we need to understand is this, that each one of us has a place in this building called the church, called East Hill Baptist Church. You see, not only is he the cornerstone, he is the architect. We are being built into a spiritual house, a spiritual priesthood, and God is the architect of that house. And what he knows is this. He knows that just like the children are finding different blocks that fit next to each other, he knows that you, how he has made you, how he has gifted you, he knows that you are being put next to somebody else in the spiritual house to stand together to be a living temple, a living stone. So what you've got to understand is that you are important to his work. You have a unique place in this building. You have a unique work that nobody else can do. You are a living stone filling a purpose, which is building a work, a church, a spiritual house for Jesus Christ. Now, this is what we got to understand. Okay, children, well done. I want you all, thank you. Let's say well done to our builders. Let's give them a clap. That is really good, okay? So now, okay, we're going to stop building. Now, I want just those of you who've been building and those who are watching, I want, George, maybe you can tell me, these are four, what did you build them on? Four what?
Four, what kind of things were those?
Bricks.
Bricks, or like bricks. They were like blocks, weren't they? They were four building blocks, okay? In the Bible, it says the church is built on a cornerstone. Okay, but sometimes people reject the cornerstone. So what they do is they take the cornerstone out of their life. What do you think is going to happen when we take the cornerstone away?
It will break.
It will break, okay. So do you want to just do that? Bring it right out, fast. Bring the whole cornerstone out. Pull it out more. Do you want to help? Break it down, okay. Take the cornerstone out. That's right. When you take the cornerstone out, it breaks, doesn't it? Okay, thank you. Okay, so that, just leave those blocks just like that, because they're the illustration for today. That is what happens, church, when we reject Jesus Christ. Now, you might think, well, I'm a Christian. I will never reject Jesus. But I want to tell you this, that for 500 years since Martin Luther put that very powerful statement on the door, the church has been rejecting its own cornerstone, the Lord Jesus Christ. The church has been saying things like, this Bible is not necessarily the only book that will lead us to God. The church is saying you can't believe everything in the Bible. It's just stories. Some of the church leaders are saying, I don't even know if Jesus Christ is in fact the Son of God. He might have just been a good man. I've heard church ordained ministers say they don't believe that he is the Son of God, conceived by the Holy Spirit with the Virgin Mary. They do not believe that anymore. The church is rejecting their own cornerstone. And I'm telling you now that when we reject our cornerstone, the building will fall down. When we reject Jesus and push him out of our lives, the building will fall down. And so today, we need to rediscover that Martin Luther, when he said, we cannot buy friendship with Jesus, we cannot rationalize friendship with Jesus, it is only by faith in Jesus Christ that we will know salvation, that 500 years ago, he himself became a cornerstone of the Reformation. And what God wants today is he wants churches and congregations that will be living stones, a cornerstone of salvation to this community who love God and embrace him. Amen. Amen. So now we're going to ask the children to please come and stand. Len, if we can have them all standing and showing us their coloring. Carmony, if you could come, you were going to help with the putting up the paint, the pictures. Thank you. That would be good. Okay. Okay, if we can have you all standing in a line, guys. Thank you. Calmly, thanks. Just before you collect them. Hold your picture up. We want to see how all the pictures look, okay? All right. Aren't they brilliant, everybody? Okay. Yeah, well done. Well done. Okay. So, remember, we can't buy friendship with Jesus. It is only by faith we can know him. Now, what's going to happen is I want you, please, children, to give your pictures to Carmony, your beautiful color pictures. She's going to put them up on the walls, and we're going to leave them there as we remember a cornerstone of the Reformation, a cornerstone who pointed us back to Jesus, back to our heart. So while Carmony's doing that, the children are going to go back to their parents, and we are going to stand and we are going to sing our final hymn, a hymn of worship and joy and salvation. So children, if you can go back to your moms and dads now, okay, go and join them where they are, right? Or your nans, whoever you came with today, okay. As the children go back, weren't they brilliant? We clap for them. Let's give them one more clap. They were so well behaved today. Thank you. I think I'm becoming more and more a fan of our family services. Amen. We don't do them very often, but when we do, those children are precious. Let's stand as we close together now our final hymn.